Chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. And this is verse 7. And it says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Say that. My God will hear me.
My God will hear me.
All right, I'll continue. Do not rejoice over me. Say that.
Do not rejoice over me.
My enemy.
When I fall,
I will rise.
I will rise.
Say that. I will rise.
I will
rise.
I will rise.
In victory. The Lord will be a light to me. When I sit in darkness, He is the light. Hallelujah. See, and that's so important. When we say that together, you hear the strength of it. See, because we need each other. See, there is strength in numbers. Especially for those who are in one accord. And for that very reason, we see the very importance of the scripture of Hebrews 10:25. We must not quit meeting together as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. See, I'm going to say it again. We need to keep on encouraging each other. Don't go tell somebody your problems. Encourage them, and then they'll encourage you. No, we go the opposite direction. We don't bring encouragement. By the time we leave some people, they're like, oh, they're so down. We are supposed to be encouraging one another. We encourage one another in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, this becomes more and more important as you see the day of Jesus' return getting closer and closer and closer and closer. All I want to say is don't get caught with your pants down when that day comes. During these difficult and troubling times, circumstances, and situations, just as the Lord told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Being strong and of good courage means trusting in the Lord as our true source and strength. See, in Joshua's case, he didn't have all the answers for the challenges before him, but he was counseled to go forward anyway. Acting in faith, he went forward. We are also counseled through God's Word by the Counselor, Holy Spirit in us. We are also be confident in the Lord at all times. Confident in Him. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and this is the Amplified Classic Edition, because I think we all like it, because we all say it together. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Are you ready, folks? I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's pretty confident, isn't it? It builds you up thinking. That's God speaking. That's God saying that. Because in the very next verse it says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You can say that. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? There you go. Nothing. The only time that man can have anything is if you depend and take your source to man. That's right there where it is, brother. If you trust in man as your source, then he can have control over you. But when you're trusting God the whole way, sold out confidently, man has no authority over you. Does not. I know that you're sitting there saying, real? Yeah, that is for real. That's God's word. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same loving Jesus that walked on this earth. The Jesus who hung on the cross for us. He's alive. And he went to heaven. And he said, while I'm gone, you guys take care of the governing here on the earth of my kingdom I've given you. Called us the ecclesia. We're his church. But the voice of the church has been quiet for too many years. And we see this where we're at in this nation. There was no separation of state and church. No. It's not that way. And in fact, you want to read a good book, I'm telling you there's a good book. My brother back there that he wrote, you can ask him about it. I'm talking about our attorney back there, Mr. Lewis. He wrote a good book. It's interesting. See, it plants the thoughts to get you to get into the Word, is why he writes his books. To get you to draw and say, okay, can that be possible? Is it possible? And that's his whole goal. He says, that's what I wanted. He said, that's what God put in me when I wrote these books that he's written. Yeah, enough of that. Hey, there you go, bro. I'll give you a perk there. Okay, but now, in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says for us, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses and supersedes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious, it's simply the result of uncertainty. And his word teaches the idea that uncertainty is essentially distrust in God's plan. It's not that anxiety is a sin, but that anxiety is the act or experiencing of fears and worries that one wouldn't experience if truly trusting in the Lord with all their heart and mind. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully, 24/7. He doesn't sleep. Can he see each and every one of us? Yes. Can't go and go behind a closed door and just don't think that he doesn't see. He sees everything. Everything. Nothing is hidden from God. Because in Psalm 33, verse 18, the Lord watches over those who fear him. That's reverently fear him. Those who rely on his unfailing love. These are words of encouragement this morning. And this is the place we have gathered together to hear them. Let not us neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encouraging one another. These words are encouraging to you. And what better way than to be gathered here in the unity of the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. At verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, that's one powerful scripture. It gives us clear direction on how we are to act. See, Paul urges church members always to be humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word that Paul uses for unity is the Greek word enotes. Enotes. And it refers to a condition of harmony or oneness that can only be experienced among members of Christ's body, the church, the ecclesia. This unity already exists as a spiritual reality through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Unity of the Spirit comes from God, but its expression can be destroyed by humans and therefore must be guarded and maintained. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Mm-hmm. We should genuinely aim to keep the unity or harmony that we have in the Spirit as we go about our day and interact with others. We should see that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit is maintaining our bond of peace. That's so important. Yes, so important to our walk with God, our influence on the world, on our world, our families, our church, our communities. If we don't do what Ephesians 4:3 says, we will just weaken our testimony as believers of Jesus Christ. But in verses 1 and 2 there of Ephesians, it says we are told to lead a life worthy of our calling with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now here are four qualities that must be cultivated in our life to help keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in the church. Loneliness, which is humility, gentleness, and you could say meekness with that, long-suffering, patience, and then forbearance. What is forbearance? It is bearing with one another in love, okay? So walking in loneliness or humility, which means we should not ever let ourselves think that we are superior to God's word or God's ways, or even superior to other people. Remember to keep Jesus first, other people second, and ourselves third. No, it's not. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. I think a lot of people need to hear that one. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul stresses the value of humility for maintaining relational unity and peace. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and humble. In 1 Peter 5, 5, it says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The word teaches us that humbly serving others is one of the most profound ways to emulate Christ, who submitted to God's authority in everything. Philippians chapter 2 now, verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equally with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Humility is a grace that attracts more grace. Pride closes the door to spiritual growth, but humility opens the door of our life to more of God's grace. To the humble, God gives patience, peace, and gentleness. See, and the fruit of the Spirit grows in the soil of humility. Humility is the key to spiritual growth. Jesus is our example of humility. Yes. Now we go to the next one. Gentleness. Gentleness. It causes one to act in a manner that is meek, mild, and even tempered, which means we are to aim to be gentler and softer with others, guarding ourselves against being selfish and harsh with people, because people's is people's. So that's why you've got to look in the mirror and say this with me, but you put your name into it. A kinder, more gentler Pastor Jack. And you say that enough. And if your wife is sitting there saying, I need my man to calm down, I need him in the control, that's what she needs to be speaking every day. My wife spoke it over me and it has worked. I have changed. You can ask her, has it not come to pass? Amen. I'm blowing myself up before you. I'm just telling you it worked. She prayed hard enough, and here I stand at this pulpit. She prayed that God would get a hold of me, and he did. And he went, boy, what have you been doing all your life? You know, I talked to you a long time ago when you was a teenager and you didn't pay attention to me. You looked at the people around you. You looked at them. You weren't looking at me, he said. He's, now that I've got your full attention, because you've had a lovely wife who's been praying for you. God brought that to my attention. I got my focus on him now. And when I got my focus on him, life has been great. I mean, I love being in the Word. I love studying the Word. I love finding out more. Developing a closer relationship with God. You know? Praise you, Jesus. Kinder, more gentler, Pastor Jack. Hallelujah. See, that's how we endeavor to keep the unity of peace in the bond, in the spirit of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. It's how we talk and act, and it springs from the Spirit of God within us, not the flesh. Because in Galatians 5:16 tells us, walk by the Spirit. Right? It tells us, walk by the Spirit. And then it says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. A common misconception is that gentleness is weakness or passivity. True gentleness, however, is just the opposite. It requires greater strength, and get this, self-control. Because gentleness is closely related to self-control. Gentleness comes from a state of humility. Again, the fruit of the Spirit grows really well in the soil of humility. Therefore, someone who lacks gentleness is often prideful and easily angered or feels the need for revenge. In order to be gentle, we must not view ourselves as better than someone else. Rather than asserting superiority, someone who is gentle wants to help others even when they have been done wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus described himself as gentle and humble in heart. In the original Greek, the word for gentle is also used for a calming medicine, a soft breeze, or a horse that has been broken. Again, Jesus described himself as gentle and humble in heart. He's our example. Calming medicine, soft breeze, or a horse that has been broken. In a similar holding back power, long-suffering or patience requires the discipline to endure suffering or discomfort without striking back. By the way, that's number three there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 of the Amplified. We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. With joy. We can't please God by attacking others. We can't succeed God's way by pecking at somebody or fighting with other members of his body just because we don't agree with some of them in some way or another. See, it would be like taking your fist and punching yourself in the face and expecting it not to hurt. Okay? When I'm bringing it out like that, you go, okay, yeah, it makes sense. See, I know some people are just flat out irritating and can get under our skin. See, they aren't thorns in the flesh. They're bushes. Man. Oh, man. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe they did wrong, or maybe they didn't do things the way you wanted. Maybe they didn't believe exactly like you did. Now, even if you think they are wrong as a $3 bill, attacking isn't the way. Exercise endurance and patience. Enduring for unity in the Spirit is the way. See, that's what God's Word says. See, let God be God. And let's just keep the faith. See, that's how everything becomes ours. Patience, as I've said, is a moral virtue because it contributes to happiness and living well. Now, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. The Good News Translation. I chose this one. Hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. An angry person is quick to start fights, but by being patient and taking a deep breath, you're more likely to diffuse the situation. Be calm, pray, and think. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He was gentle with the woman. And the Pharisees had brought her to them and said, we caught her in adultery. And they wanted to stone her. What do you say? What did he do? He got down with his finger and was writing. He said, any one of you who hasn't sinned, throw the first stone. And then he stood up. And then they started dropping. He went back down. He stood back down. And when the last one left, because of his gentleness and understanding, he said, where are your accusers? Gone. Ain't none of them without sin. Ain't none of us without sin. I mean, I got to repent every day. I got to go to God and ask him. Sometimes I do it and like, oh man, I say that. Sometimes I don't know I do it. But every day. Because you ain't perfect. And we're not in a world that's perfect. And it sure brings us down. But we can't let it bring us down. See, we got the joy of the Lord in us. And that's where we draw our strength from the joy of the Lord. But did you notice what I said? He used his finger. Right. Father like son, you understand? How did God write on those stones? With his finger. One and the same. These things just jump out anymore. And I don't know if they jump out to you when I bring them, but that jumps out to me when I read scriptures and see that. I'm like, wait a minute. I read this. That goes back to this. And you can see it. He emulated the Father. He did things just like the Father did. That's what I say, one touch? Those fingers are pretty powerful, God. It's no different. I mean, we seen what he did with the money changers and them tables. They weren't no light card tables either, that man was throwing around, I'm telling you. Ah, oh, Jesus. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The New American Standard Bible. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than arrogance of spirit. We are warned about that arrogance of spirit in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Because it says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your own evaluations of yourself. So we've all got a long way to go. I do as well. I'm up here preaching the word and saying, okay, this is going on. It's like going on good ground. Go out and talk about the word. Don't talk about the pastor. Talk about the word. That's what you want to do. You want to say, that was very interesting today. And this is what the word said. See, it's not what the pastor's saying. It's what God is saying in his word and delivering to you from the pulpit. Yeah. In Proverbs 14:29 says, patience leads to abundant understanding. Patience leads to abundant understanding. But impatience leads to stupid mistakes. What's the message Bible say, by the way? You look it up. I want to know what that says. Because if that one says that, I'm interested. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Oh, that's right. You got one of them. You're good with them ticking on them, phones. All right.
Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding.
I like that. How true, how true. See, when you're in a tough situation, don't be quick to judge or to have a hot head. If you have a short temper, you're more likely to make a mistake. So calm yourself down and leave it in Jesus' hands. All right, got to go one more. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. This verse is kind of like a turtle and hare sort of story. See, in the end, it's patience and self-control that wins. Self-control is superior to conquest. Dean automatically thought of his tractor, I know. Just because it's a conquest. And he rides that conquest every week. Self-control is a is superior to conquest. Such as success in business, school, or home life can be ruined when we have lost control of our temper. So it is a great personal victory to control your temper. When you feel yourself about ready to explode, remember that losing control may cause you to forfeit what you most want. Patience. We all have need of patience. Okay, last one, forbearance. Forbearance, or bearing with one another in love. It is a character that is strongly linked with love. In fact, all the qualities that contribute to keeping the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace are associated with one word, love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. 1 Corinthians 13:14. Love never ends. How do I know that? God is love. And He's in eternity. He is living in the He's been in the past. He's been in the future. He goes back and forth. He knows what the future holds. If the people do what He tells them to do. If we exercise and do what His Word says. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. He says, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. So I got a question for you. You ready? What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Now Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You think of that sometimes? What example are you putting out there? That's John 13:35, by the way. John 13:35. Cultivating love is the core component to keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. I think I need to read that one again. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. I didn't say that. The Word says it right there. Forgive anyone who offends you. I don't care what it is. When they were nailing Him to the cross, He said, forgive them, Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. always be thankful. We as believers should live in peace. To live in peace does not mean that suddenly all differences in opinions are eliminated, but does require that loving Christians work together despite their differences. Such love is not a feeling, but a decision to meet others' needs. To live in love leads to peace between individuals and among the members of the body of believers. So I believe we must cherish unity, and we got to shun division. Shun division. See, Satan has a spirit of division, working 24/7 to divide marriages, families, friendships, churches, cities, and nations. Yeah. Satan has a head guy over division. It's a spirit. And he works everywhere. I've seen it. I've seen it in families. I've seen it in marriages. I've seen that spirit of division come in. And that spirit can take the littlest thing and just, and if you're not in the Word, he'll build on it, he'll build on it, he'll build on it. And then the separation happens. It causes church splits. And what's that do for the body? Weakens the body. Weakens the testimony that's going forth. There's ways to move on and go another direction. And there's ways not to. That's all I'm saying. But we got to attack it because it's spirits. There is a mighty spiritual realm out there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in the wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Division is a total contradiction of ideal Christian life. It is a sin against the spirit of fellowship. See, it robs the Christian message of its meaning, and it renders the hope of our calling null and void. And you want to go get a good definition of null and void? Ask our Lord. He'll tell you what that is. He can give a better description of it than I can, or even better than Webster's can. Amen. Yeah, I know I'm putting you on the spot today, bro. Because you're a healed man. Never to ever have that affliction. Once you're done, you're done. It won't come upon you a second time. Never will you have a problem again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Here. I got the right one now. I got five. Okay. Okay. Well, anyhow, let me say, there is one body. Oh, yeah. Ephesians 4. Yeah, 5 and 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, and 6. Okay, 4, 5, and 6. Because we did the other ones. We did 1, 2, 3. So this is 4, 5, and 6. There, I got it. Sorry about that. There, I got my sheet marked wrong. So I just realized. Wait. So the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure we got you right there. Okay. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Apostle Paul covers it pretty well right there in those verses. See, and if we get hold of what he is saying, and do it. Yeah, and do it. We will have peace in the church, peace in our community, peace and goodwill toward men, I know we are all different, but we must work together. Just like the foot, the arms, the hands, the ears, the eyes, and our heads. They work together. Because if not, you know, this foot wants to go this, wants to go that way, you ain't going to go nowhere. You know? Depending on what you do with your hands. Okay. Each of us has a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. And we can't function at our best without each other. We were created and given destinies that are designed to work together. See, God is relational. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. And He wants all of us to have fellowship with other people. You've probably heard this saying before. No man is an island. See, we need God and we need others. Let us all endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to end here because I got more, but I think we've done enough. But this is an acrostic of the word relationship, and that and it outlines the elements we need to build healthy relationships. Okay, Tim, I thought of you, and I think you'll like this. But you can come on up while I go through this. But it says, relationships. R, reach out to others.
E,
enjoy each other. L, loyal to each other. A, available to each other. T, trust each other. I, interested in each other. O, open to each other. N, need each other. S, support each other. H, help each other. I, invest in each other. P, pray for each other. S, strengthen each other. Relationships. God is all about relationships. We need each other. We need to be in unity.